a time of communion. I just love how we can come freely, and great job there, Kez, playing the guitar. But we can come freely and just worship together and have our have the elements together in such a free environment, which is just great. And we can do it together as a church family. That's what I love. And I love how it's, not in a religious type way, but it's through relationship. And I'll share shortly. We've been doing a series, or we've just started it last week, and Ken started with his story of Jesus. And I'll share a little bit, and Anthony at the back will share as well, just after communion. So hopefully this leads into it well, just our story of Jesus and our testimonies, I suppose you could say. So leading into 2021 and what Jesus has been to us and continues to be with us. So if I could just have a couple of people pass around the communion elements. Thanks, Jenny, Anthony. Yep. I like this scripture in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5, where it says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Love how we've received adoption to be his sons and daughters in Christ. And we don't have to do anything for that. We just have to give our lives to him and know that it's all by grace, and his mercies are new every day. Also in Colossians 1:19-22, it says, "For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." We are holy and blameless without a single fault standing here before him, or sitting here before him. And I love that part of it as well in those scriptures. And we're adopted as sons and daughters, as it said in Galatians. So as we take these elements together this morning, we'll just pray over the body and the blood before we take it together. Lord God, we honour you and thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord God, that we come before you without a single fault, blameless, Lord God, because of what you did on that cross, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are adopted into your family as sons and daughters here. We thank you so much for that, Lord God. We remember you this morning for what you did. Thank you also, Lord, you died on the cross, but you rose again. And thank you that same power that rose you from the dead lives in us. And we just thank you so much for that, Lord. And we give you all the praise and honour and glory this morning as we eat and drink together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hopefully this can lead into what I've got to say this morning. Basically, as I said, my story of Jesus or testimony, and my life to where it sits now. I haven't always been a Christian in my life, so grew up basically grew up in a Catholic upbringing. So I went to church every week and quite devout, I suppose. My dad in particular. So it was an interesting upbringing, and not to say some Catholics don't know God, but I definitely didn't growing up, and it was one of those things where I suppose you go to church every week and you have communion, or you do your first communion when you're in grade 4, I think it is, your first reconciliation, you have your confirmation in grade 6, you have your baptism as a baby, all those type of things, and we do that now, or I do that now, just with a different heart, I suppose you could say, have communion, but with a different heart, or sing songs, or sang songs every week, similar words, you know, but with a different heart. The worship, communion, and basically all the things that you do in and around it was almost pretty similar. Like you're reading, you know, they have the readings of the scriptures and all those types of things. But it was just now the words are alive, basically. The word is alive where it wasn't necessarily there. So it was a lot of basically Jesus to me then was probably, dead or on the cross, and I didn't know anything else. He was just the Son of God, but he was dead on the cross and that was it, which has its place, but I didn't know anything about the resurrection or anything like that. And it was all kind of obligations, rules and regulations, whereas it's much more of relationship now. So there's that different, definitely that different heart and not so religious, even though it can get into religious moments and parts of our lives that you have to kind of wither away a bit. But that's definitely changed and it's much more of a freer lifestyle I've found now. Yeah, so it would have been growing up, and then 15 or 16 probably then ended up just when I could make more of my own decision, just walked away. Didn't have to go to church. My parents didn't force me or whatever you want to call it at the Catholic Church. So then got into a few all sorts of things, I suppose you could say, for a few years there. And then it was when I was 19 that, there was church in the city that a few of my mates invited me to, who grew up in a Christian household and in the church. And so I went along with them, and it took a real process. It was a good 4 or 5, 6 months of going there and then eventually making a decision to for Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour. So it took a while. It was going in Friday night. We had a bus out here and we'd take the bus. You know, there was all kids everywhere. And then on a Sunday to church, Friday night was the youth, and then we'd go in, and then Sunday was church, we'd take a bus as well. So it was a big thing, and it was different to what I was used to in terms of there was live music. There wasn't just a person on organ, that's right, Or my dad, he still does actually, he still plays the tape player. He has the tapes in his little tape player, which is fine, but it's different to what I was used to when I went to this church. So it was all loud music and lights and all that. And I suppose younger people just jumping around and having a good time, which I wasn't particularly used to. So it took me a bit of time and a bit taken aback initially, but then it took time, and I think it was God doing a bit of a work in me that he couldn't just, like some people probably straight away are just bang, that's it, they're transformed. But for me it was a good couple of years, I think, until it got going a bit, and still is a continual process. But so it's been 17 years since then, and a great definitely you have your ups and downs, but with God it's so much better, no doubt about it. So a typical week probably in those times when I was 19, 20 is we would have as I said, Friday night we would travel in as a group on a bus to youth group, then Sunday would have church and sometimes stay for 1, 2 services or whatever, hang out. But it was all together, as you know, there was similar age group, there was similar people coming along, and we'd go out and have lunch, and I was just around good people, which I think helped a lot. Whereas I suppose the previous lifestyle with maybe my school friends and football friends and spending most of the time with them, it may have led into other areas that I shouldn't have gone led down. But and then it would come into say a Tuesday, and we'd have something here, like, and I know Kerry was living here at the time, and she just opened her this place up for basically youth or adult youth to come along. So I'd come along with those friends I talked to you about who invited me along to church, and then there was 15, 20 others at times, just whatever, playing table tennis, pool, mucking around, doing all those things, but all Christians and all with a great, yeah, same sort of purpose, and it was just a bit of a different feel to what I was used to, and yeah, there was some real love, and I think I look back on it now, and there was a real love of Jesus, you know, in talking about the story of him, there was a real love of Jesus with all the people there, I thought, and then would come into, yeah, Wednesday, would have a, usually every second week, would have a youth group from our church do something, and then Thursday, would be back here again at night, and yeah, run a boys or girls group, or sometimes combined, just together, usually, yeah, the adult youths. And we did that for a good couple of years, but it was a real, and then it just kept going on. That was the whole, a typical week. So I was just around good people consistently and just hearing the word and just little bits and pieces. And, you know, you do little, on Thursday nights, we might do a little practice preach for 2 minutes each, or little bits and pieces that all had elements of it. And I look back now and it was just such a great time. And I know Kerry had a vision initially of that being this place, and its name Menarche as well means hospitable and as well, but yeah, there's so much more to it, and I know other lives have been touched as well. So yeah, that was a very exciting time. I was at uni, and so I had plenty of time, and it was just, yeah, there was just a great time of bonding with other Christians and getting to know them. So yeah, that leads me into where, as it says, I think I've got the scriptures up there, Mash. I'll just run through a few scriptures that have probably touched my life a fair bit over the last 15, 16 years, in particular early on. And this one here, I don't think my treasure, where, as it says there, for where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centres will be also. Or where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So I don't think, yeah, it's not the other way around. I think where my treasure was where God didn't want it to be. So then my heart was in a different place, and it was, yeah, searching for other things or doing other things that wasn't pleasing to God. So, yeah, God did a real transformation with what I treasured, and it ended up being, you know, yeah, hanging around with all these people, just being around church and getting into the Word, teachings and just things like that, that really transformed my treasure. And ended up being, you know, God being my treasure, and then my heart changed. And as I was saying before, with things like communion and worship and even just the way I thought, what way I spoke, actions, things like that, that's where my heart really changed, because my treasure changed into, yeah, basically Jesus. The next scripture as well, as I mentioned, with my mind... can play havoc on us sometimes, but this has always been, yeah, very pivotal in my life in particular. Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed to this world. That was a big thing, because I was. And then transformed by the renewing of your mind, because my mind wasn't in the right place. My treasure wasn't in the right place, but, and God has done a real transformation in my mind, because I was a big worrier, not a warrior, a warrior, I worried. It's hard words to say. Yeah, so the next slide there, Mash. Oh, no, it's not that one. Next one, and then go back to that one, sorry. So this one here, we probably all know it in this verse, but I remember before I read it out, even before I was a Christian, there was this song, and because I worried a lot about things, about life, it said in one of the parts of the song, in a verse, it said, "Worry is as useful as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum." And I've just never forgot that. Like, you're trying to solve this equation by just chewing bubble gum. That's what, how useless worry is, or how how useful it is. And it's always stuck to me, that I don't know, that song for some reason, and that part of the song. And then, yeah, so a massive transformation with me is worry, and know that I can trust in God and just leave things in His hands. As it says in Matthew 6, That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first, or seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything we need. Such a profound part of scripture there that just encapsulates it really well with the wildflowers. Like, they're here today and thrown into fire tomorrow. He'll certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And he feeds all the birds and obviously verse 33 there, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Now that was a big thing for me, and still is. But it's that treasure. And I know where my heart is when my treasure isn't seeking first the kingdom of God, definitely. The next slide also, it's just Jesus working in us continually, and working in me continually, not to follow the desires of my sinful nature, as it says here in Galatians 5:19-21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So God had to do a massive transformation in that. And the next slide basically is the next two verses, as we all know it. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. And he's continually working in me in these areas without a doubt. Probably this year or last year, the long-suffering one, the patience, has been a big thing for me, no doubt, in the last year or two, and he's still working in all the other areas as well. Just a few more scriptures before Anthony gets up. This next one here, John 14:26, but the helper, the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I've told you. It's been such a big thing, him being the basically comforter and counselor in my life, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus sending him, the Holy Spirit, down. Just when I need him, he's there all the time as that. Probably the main part of those two, yeah, is counselor and a real strengthener, intercessor. He's continually, right from the word go, that scripture's been huge, a real helper, and he continually is that we can always turn to, and I always turn to, definitely. And this verse here, which is the next verse, in verse 27, John 14, straight after it. So in challenging times, this is what, and in any time, but definitely in challenging times, and I've bolded some of the words there, but it just sticks out to me. Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I love how it says it in the Amplified version there. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge that we face. That's what the Holy Spirit, and that's, you know, my story of Jesus, what he's doing and continually doing, just bringing great peace and calm in every challenge that is faced, and strength. Perfect peace. That's what I love. It's, You know, we can find peace and things in other parts of our life, but he's the only perfect peace I've found, no doubt. Then the next one, Philippians 4:6-7, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." Similar to that worry part I was mentioning. And then, yeah, this next bit as well, in Philemon 1:4-7, yeah, it's more stuck out to me lately. So he's done, obviously, things in my life, but what can I do for others as well through Jesus? What else can he do through me to be a real beacon of light to others? It says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." And that's what, yeah, just a real challenge for me as well. That especially that last verse there, "For you, we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." And that's, yeah, something that, yeah, I want to inspire, like really inspires me. And obviously Jesus is the great one to look up to. But I love that in particular recently, that scripture, where most of these other ones that I've shared have been initially in the first few years of my walk with God, and continue to be, but definitely big challenge. Just two more verses here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It could be my favourite verse or part of scripture. "I think the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure." Continually comes up in my spirit that when there might be tough times. And then this one, Psalm 32:8. "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." Best pathway for your life. And he will advise and guide us. I just, yeah. That one is huge in my life, definitely, because I know that when I try and take the reins or I try and take control, things might not go to plan, or, yeah, I just need to trust in Jesus. And that's been a big thing, is trust and patience in God, knowing that he does a great work in us, or great work in me, has and will continue to do. Yeah, so he's definitely saved me from a lot of things, Jesus has, so far, and will continue to do. But I'm looking forward, yeah, to what life he has for the rest. And I know that, yeah, whilst it's quite adventurous when you live for Jesus, no doubt about it. And you know, you can get into all other types of things, but as I said before, when it comes down to it, Jesus is the best life, living for him, and the peace that he gives, the guidance, yeah, and I just want to share that with others. So hopefully, yeah, you've got a little bit out of my short story of Jesus and little testimony this morning, and Anthony will come up and share his as well. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Hopefully there was some encouragement there. Any questions, feel free to ask me or whatever you like. So, Anthony, come on up.
Thanks, Darren. That was great. Darren actually, as we'll find out, played a pretty big part in my Jesus story. So, you know, when asked the question, you know, would you share your Jesus story? You know, you naturally just obviously think the beginning of the story, which is where you should really start. But for me, my Jesus story is just a great before and after, which is a lot for other people. Like, you're this person before you met Jesus, and you're another person after you've met him. And that's why Oh, definitely. When it talks about in the Bible about our new birth as Christians, like I can definitely know that when I met Jesus, my life was almost the reset button was pressed for me, which was great. So, so I'll just give you a bit of a background. I don't want to go into too much detail, really, but you know, I didn't really have a hard upbringing. I had good parents, had a stable home. I was born in Gisborne, lived in Gisborne all of my life. So all good from that regard. But like a lot of people, I struggled socially in school. And school can be a hard place when you can't naturally socialise or whatever. So in some ways, that in itself created a lot of issues in my life, a lot of low self-esteem, a deep sense of loneliness. Even though you're surrounded by heaps of people every day, you still felt really lonely, confused, carried all sorts of shame and guilt about all sorts of things, had a pretty dirty mouth. I was actually a pretty angry person, with the world and just people in general. Which would surprise some people now because Jesus done a work. And I really had a lack of purpose and direction in life. So all of those things, you could say that I was definitely a lost person, because I just didn't know. There was something missing, but I was chasing things or thinking things might fulfill that hole in other things. So, you know, at that time, you know, 18 years old or whatever, if you asked me about God or Christianity or Jesus, like it just never entered my mind. I didn't go to church really as a kid, so it wasn't something that I just thought it was whatever, it's irrelevant. And I'll just probably ignore the existence of God or just deny it entirely. So that's where I was at about 15 years ago now. So once I finished school, high school. And so when I ended school, although it was a good thing to end school, was kind of a scary thing at the same time, because all of this structure that you've had all of your life and all this social ease you've had all of your life kind of come to an end, and I was kind of didn't have any plans, so I was a little bit lost in that regard as well. So I'd never have a job, and so I looked for one, and I got the most random job of picking cherries up the road here on Mount Gisborne, and ironically that's where it all began to change for me, because that's where I actually met Darren at the back there. Another guy, Brad, who some of you might know. And the first time I met these guys, and this is really important, I think, when we're wanting to encourage people to come to know God, is these guys who are a couple of years older than me, they didn't know me from a bar of soap, they took me under their wing and they befriended me straight away, which had never really happened to me before in my life. Which was real, and I was just like, oh, okay, it's a bit different. And I welcomed it, obviously. And eventually came out that they were churchgoers, Christians. I thought, oh, okay, interesting. It didn't change my perception of it or anything. So, these guys who were, you know, themselves, they were different. They didn't swear, they didn't exclude others, they didn't talk behind people's back, they were just nice people, nice blokes. And they would eventually invite me to church, which I've never really been to church, so I thought, okay, sure, why not, I'll come to church. And it was the church in the city, loud, charismatic. I've never heard Jesus' name mentioned so many times in 100 words, so I was just like, okay, this is, all right, fair enough. But through this little, probably a few weeks here, I still remember the feeling. There was this drawing, this wooing. I call it wooing. Like Jesus was actually starting to call me and draw me to something. And so I felt that. So that's probably why I kind of, even though I was a little bit freaked out, stunned's probably the word actually. it didn't turn me away. It just made me think. I went home and I thought about it, and it stuck with me for the rest of the week. I went another couple of times. My life wasn't really didn't really change. Like I was still hanging out with my old friends, drinking too much, getting to a bad place, to where I was, where I described where I was in that bad headspace and bad place. So although I was attending church and it was good being there, I still hadn't really changed, which is important differential. You can't just think if you attend church then you'll change. So I kept attending church, and then this specific moment happened for me, which doesn't happen for everyone, but it happens to a lot of people, where I was in the middle of the church service, probably for the third or fourth or fifth time, I can't remember. And I just, in the middle of the music, I just felt this, it was almost like involuntary, kind of close my eyes, lift my eyes, and I felt this light almost descend upon me, and this weight that I'd been carrying all my teenage life just lift almost immediately. I remember the song still that I was singing, and I think it was called Holy Spirit Fall Down or something like that, ironically. That was such a precious and divine moment, and I undeniably met Jesus that day. But I just remember that weight coming off and this light coming down and in within me. Salvation, right? Like a moment of rescue and salvation. That's exactly what that moment was. So, oh man, it was good, and I still remember it all those time ago. And I wrote this down. I found exactly what I didn't know I was looking for, which was great, obviously. And I was blessed in the sense that almost immediately some things just at that moment disappeared from my life, like bad mindset, hopelessness, some bad habits, shame and guilt. Almost just left. Still had to deal with some stuff, obviously, as we do, but I was blessed that it just, it was gone. It was, praise God. I mentioned the salvation now, 15 years ago, but the important thing to note in our lives is it's not a one-time, although it's a great event, it's not a one-time event, and you can't live in the past and you can't live in that moment. So that's important to note, that every day is a day of salvation. His mercies are new every morning. So that experience I had 15 years ago, I can have that every day, and that joyous experience within me. In 2 Corinthians it says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that for me just reminds me that joy of salvation, of being rescued by Jesus, can be and is an everyday thing. We can wake up every day having that joy in him. And one of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 51:12. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And that encouraged me, that scripture. And in Ephesians, where it talks about the armor of the spirit, has helmet of salvation as one of the things we should put on as Christians, meaning that it's an important part of our makeup. It's an important part that we remember that salvation, because it protects us from so many things. It protects our thoughts, protects how we see the world. Like, it's awesome. And like I've kind of touched on, and Darren kind of touched on similar things, because I was around the time when Darren was finding his feet in his faith as well, like just the relationship within your early years of your faith with like-minded people, Christians, young guys of the same, was really, really important to me, and I was really blessed to have that, and it really fast-tracked my faith and really protected me for those first 12 months so I didn't fall away, because I've never fallen away. I've never had a doubt or wanted to walk away from Jesus, because he's obviously impacted me so much. And after 15 years, it doesn't get old. Provided you keep feeding yourself and keep connected, it doesn't get old, it gets better. So I love the story of how I met Jesus, but I think the important thing is it's about every day. The story with Jesus is an everyday thing. He's with us constantly. Whether or not we realise it, he's a part of our life, and he wants to be a part of our life. And he wants to do great things with us, which we can do in partnership with him. I just wrote this out while I was preparing this, which just encouraged me, just in regards to every day with Jesus. Like, he's with me always. He removes all shame and guilt. He restores me. He challenges me and grows me constantly. He gives me a hope and a future. He gives me a loving heart to care for and love people. He gives me a direction and a purpose. He provides, sustains and protects. He fills my mind and life with good things. I look at the sky and creation, and it reminds me of his goodness. This is a part of our story, to remember him and how he works in our life. And I look at the blessings in my life today. I've got my wife and my kids. I've got a great job, a good life. But it's all been provided by him. And it's a praise point. He deserves the credit and the praise for it. And also an important thing about salvation is when we come to Jesus, it kind of is all about us, because Jesus wants to win us over. But the important thing about once we've actually established ourselves in our faith, it's not about us anymore. It's about what we can do for others and what we can do for God, and not actually get too much about ourselves, which is kind of an ironic thing, because it needs to be about us to actually find God. But once he's found us, he then reveals to us that what we need to do is actually forget about ourselves and get over ourselves, so we can actually look out for other people and stuff. Because and getting married and having kids has definitely helped that process as well. So our Jesus story must be a continuous tale with no ending. Choose your own adventure. I'll just finish with a scripture that came to mind as well, from Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set out before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." Amen. Thanks, guys, for listening. Hopefully it was encouraging. I'll get Kerry to come back up. You come back up.
Thanks, honey. there's actually a song. I thought he was going to introduce it, but we're going to play... we want to finish with the song today. We don't usually do this, but... it's funny, because he came to me the other day. He goes, "Oh, do you know this song?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sure I've, I'm sure I've mentioned it lots of times, because this old hymn, many of you may know it." Sorry, we do hymns like my dad's bringing a hymn like almost every day at the moment, isn't he? Every time he comes up, Blessed Assurance. Many of you will know it, and I have shared this story before. But my grandpa, so my mum's dad, I'm gonna get teary. Love him, an amazing, amazing man. A lot like my husband, actually. He never met him. But I remember 2 weeks out from his death, I sat with him and I said, Grandpa, what's something that you would leave? If there's one thing you could leave. So he became a Christian, I think, in his early 20s, but and sold out for God. They had an amazing farm and they sold out for the gospel. They then, as most of you would know, especially back in those days, you don't get paid a lot as a minister, and being a minister is 24/7, 7 days a week. So his life was just literally for other people. And he said, after my entire life and everything that I've done, he said, I've realized all Jesus wanted was me. And that was what he left with me 2 weeks before he died. And then this was his favorite hymn, and I love it. So when Anthony said, he goes, oh, I want to play, come and play this. And I said, I really think you should. Because it says, the chorus is, this is my story, this is my song. And I just want to encourage you, it's what we've been talking to, it's what Dad's been talking about. What is your Jesus story? And not necessarily, it's brilliant what the guy showed today, and I love how Anthony took it as well, actually both really, that it's not just how you came to know him, but what's he doing daily in your life? What's your Jesus story when you wake up in the morning, and what you would share with people? Because nothing speaks more to other people than what Jesus is personally to you. I just want to share this brief. Again, I'm sorry for those that I have shared it, but I was at a leadership camp when I was like in my early 20s, and we had I had a few butt-ins with the head chick, and one in particular was there was a yoga session, and I said, I don't want to do this. And she was like, well, why not? And I said, well, because I don't believe in doing this as a Christian, and I'm not comfortable with it. And she got really angry with me. And she said, well, you need to go away and think about why not. And I said, I don't need to. I said, God's told me. My God has told me not to do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. So I walked away, went to a room. 7 other people appeared within a couple of minutes because she'd obviously shared with everybody that they had a choice, because previously it was you don't have a choice. You have to participate in everything. 7 other Christians came. So we went and had a Bible study and prayed for everybody else while that happened. Then throughout the whole camp, the 7 days, you had to, okay, everything was very had to, it was controlling. You had to make sure you shared at 3 minutes at some point randomly. You got to just say this word and everything froze while you shared for 3 minutes on a passion you had. And as soon as she introduced that, I turned, I said, God, you're going to get me to share about you, aren't you? He's like, yep. Like, oh, fine. So, you know, just praying about that throughout the week. And the perfect opportunity after all of this, you know, maybe a day later, 2 days later, perfect opportunity opened up. I thought I'd do it the next morning, and this other guy got up, and it was just the perfect platform to get up and share straight after him and share about how real Jesus was to me, what it was to wake up in the morning and hear his voice and talk to him and love him. And I don't even know what else I said, but at the end of my 3 minutes, she came up and in front of everybody apologized for her bad attitude towards me. And it was amazing. It was incredible. And then after that, other sort of backslidden Christians came up and we started sharing. It was just an amazing time because of my Jesus story, not just what I knew in the Bible, but who he was personally to me speaks so much more powerfully, I think. So I just want to encourage you on that kind of thing. Those guys, it was brilliant today. Thank you so much. But we're going to finish with this. And I want you to just spend some time with God thinking about your Jesus story, okay? Bless you.
Jesus is mine, and oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation and purchase of God, born of his Spirit. Savior, all the day long. and this is my story. Lord, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. This is all. Yeah, this is our song, praising our Savior all the day long. This is our story. Praising our Savior all the day long, all the day long. Can we just lift our voices and just begin to let out your own song, begin to sing out your own song of worship?
John chapter 17 verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Jesus didn't come and die so that you could just be saved and go to heaven. He did it so that he could come and live in you and so that you could know him. So if anything, if you don't know him today, then I encourage you to come and talk to us today. If you do know him, I just encourage you, hopefully today has stirred you on to just fall more in love with him and grow to know him more. May you go and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless you all. Thank you for joining us today. Feel free to stay and join us for a cuppa, coffee. And yeah, for those who come regularly, we're going to just do like chippies in the park next week or bring a picnic or whatever. So just keep that in mind. If you're coming next week, we'll grab enough chips, but then also maybe, you know, whatever else, grab another picnic and we might head over to the park or something for a bit of fellowship as well, extra fellowship after church. But bless you all. Thank you so much and have a great week. Thanks.